Father, we start lifting up the Dallas Harvest Crusade even tonight, Lord, as we have already been praying for it and thanking you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. And helping everyone here to truthfully reach out to the lost and invite them is so easy, Lord, as you know, to bring people to events like this. And Lord, we also just lift up tonight Taylor and Jocelyn, Lord, for just being with her and helping her. And Lord, all the people that we're praying for. And somehow, some way tonight, Lord, I need a miracle as you just work through me with all the fogginess that's in my mind and the crazy events of this week. That, Lord, I just rest in your grace right now, and I trust your Holy Spirit to teach through me. And that, Lord, that you'll help me say the right things tonight. And I love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. As you know, we're going to be on Wednesday nights. We're in the Old Testament. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of Joshua, but not until September. Tonight, we're going to be in many different areas. You might want to mark your Bibles right now. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 or verse 5, right in that area. So I turn with you to Proverbs there in chapter 6. I'll be there in a couple hours. And tonight I want to talk to you about something that's really weighing on my heart. Like last time I was with you, we talked about discerning the time. And boy, that is such an important thing. Remember that when we left off with that last week, it says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The sons of Issachar, of course, were the fewest in number there of the chiefs of David's army, but they were so wise. They were spiritual leaders. And I said last Wednesday night that, you know, out of all the people on the earth, shouldn't the church of the living God know what we should be doing in times like this and how we need to be discerning the time? Listen, man, here's discernment. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We really ought to know what we should be doing. And you know, like I said last Wednesday night, in order for us to truly move forward, to go where we have never been before, that what the Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 3, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to help one another, each other, pass over the spiritual Jordan where the Lord is leading us. Amen. We need to help one another. That's tonight. That's why I want to talk to you about teamwork. Say that with me. Teamwork. Very, very important word tonight. You know, what a thought. Teamwork. Can you imagine the church walking in agreement with the head of the church? Amen. That's a wonderful thought. Do you know why? We are the most powerful team in all of the world. Think about that. We're the body of Christ. Jesus, we're the body of the Lord. And he's working through us. Teamwork defined is this. It says the combined efforts are the actions of a group to achieve a common purpose or goal. When I played ball, you know, football, basketball, whatever, when I played sports, I'll never forget my coach, because he would take us in there and talk to, especially, you know, football, for example. And he would tell us all. He says, okay, team, here's what I want. And this is all I want from you. I want 3 yards and a cloud of dust. And I, you know, in other words, every play, just give me 3 yards. That's all I want. And that cloud of dust. Because you remember, you understand where I'm going, right? So if you get 3 yards and then on the fourth down, you get 3 yards. What happens? First down. Okay. Go Cowboys. All right. We got it. Now, but let me tell you something. You think, well, when he used to tell us that, we think just 3 yards, 3 yards. That's all we need. Do you know how hard it is to get 3 yards every down? Huh? Wake up. I'm tireder than you are tonight. So wake up. Now, listen, it takes what? It takes a lot of work, much work. That's why, listen, if we are going to do and have teamwork in the body of Christ, number one, we cannot be lazy Christians. Amen? We can't be lazy Christians because there's a lot of things to do. We're all on the same team. Are you at Proverbs chapter 6? Let's look at verse 6 together. It says here, God's word says, go to the ant, you what? Sluggard, that means a lazy person. Go to the ant, you lazy person. Consider her ways. Oh, what wisdom. Consider her ways and be wise. In other words, God says, really, you know, go buy an ant farm or something, okay? Study out the way of the ant, which having no captain, or literally, if you have a center reference column, if there's a little number there by the word captain. So if you look over in your center reference column, it should say the word leader. So it has no leader, they have or overseer, ruler, and look what they do. They provide her supplies, and that word means bread. They provide her bread when? In the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, would you call that teamwork? Did you know, listen, have you ever wondered, let's say you're sitting out on the porch, minding your own business, having a glass of iced tea, and you look and you see ants, you know, those little tiny ants, all in a line. They're all busy and they're all working. Okay, three of you have seen that. Well, don't torture me tonight now. I'm doing the best I can, all right, under the circumstances. And so you think, well, where are they all going? Which direction are they going in? Why are they following one another? Do you know why? Oh, when I need help from the Holy Spirit, where is it? You know, the fact of the matter is that one little ant who's called a scout, he or she, I don't know which it is, a scoutess or a scout. Okay, how's that? They went out and here's what they did. They located the food. And so as they go and eat a little bit of the food, as they come back to the nest, they mark the way with some type of scent all the way back to the nest. And then the rest of the ants follow the scent all the way to the food, and then they come back. That is teamwork, isn't it? And that's what we need to do. We need to be so led by the Holy Spirit that all of us are going in the same direction. And that's called the unity of the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's what is so needed. And so here, this teamwork, they all work together. They work together in the summer. Why? They're laying aside for the winter. They have a common goal. Winter's coming and I don't want to starve to death. Amen. Says in Proverbs 20 verse 4, the lazy man, he will not plow because of winter, and he'll beg during the harvest and have nothing. Romans 12:11 says, not lagging or not being slothful or not being lazy in diligent, but fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Helen Keller said this, alone we can do so little. You know, that isn't that true? I mean, you know, if you just you look at your desk or what are your workplace, you pile after pile after pile of stuff. And it's like, you know, do you ever just want to go into your, let's forget the desk, go to your email list. Do you ever just want to go in and you see hundreds of emails and all of a sudden you say, I wonder what happened if I just would punch delete. And all of a sudden they're all gone. They're all disappeared and you go, whoops, well, praise the Lord. Happy days are here again. You know what I'm saying? And so, that's the same thing here. You know, Helen Keller said, alone we can do so little. There's so much going on. But listen to what she says. But together we can do so much. Now listen, together we can do so much. Not only does it require teamwork, man, it requires us to work together. Now, you should be in Romans 12:3 as I turn there with you. And let's go there together. It says there, Paul writes, and he says in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, meaning the whole team, okay, not to think of himself more highly, and I should say or less highly, than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Did you know that only a person who does verse 1 and 2 there in chapter 12, who really renews their mind, can have a proper attitude about self? You know, when it says not to think too highly of yourself, that doesn't mean to put yourself down. It just simply means to consider who you really are. You know, we're all really a bunch of losers. Amen. Well, I know that doesn't do much for our self-esteem, but that's the truth, isn't it? And, you know, not that we can't achieve great things for the Lord, not that we're not smart or intelligent or hardworking and all that, but the fact of the matter is that we were born fallen, and thank God for the grace of God, and now we're born again. Amen? And so I look at all this and I say, Lord, I want to look at myself the right way. See, if you don't have the right attitude about self, you're not going to be a team player. You're not going to be involved in really working, okay, for the Lord. You know, we have to renew our mind. We have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And so we have to do that. Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's about you. Here I am. Do with me as you want. Send me wherever you want. Whatever you want to do in my life. If not, you're going to have an exaggerated opinion about your own importance. Do you think the Lord wants that? You know, like I'm somebody. Well, okay, God takes nobodies and makes them somebodies. I agree with that. But the fact of the matter is, if you have an exaggerated opinion about your own importance, here's what you're saying. I'm the one that makes it happen, man. I am the star. And that means you're not a team player. It means you're a Dennis Rodman. That must have been the Holy Spirit, man. I don't know where that came from. You know, somebody was talking to me about, what's that guy's name that played for Miami? LeBron? What's his name? Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? And I would say, oh yeah, I've read about it. He's now the king of Cincinnati. Or, is that right? Cleveland. Hallelujah. All right. Who said Cleveland? Get up here and preach this message now. No. You know, the king of Cleveland, and I said, wow. And the guy says, somebody said, well, you know, for $40 million, I could do it too, you know? So, you know, the thing is that, you know, we have an exaggerated thing. Okay, I'm somebody special in the body of Christ. We're all God's special children. Amen. And God says, I need you to be on my team and do what's right. It says there in verse 4. Now watch this. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same what? Function. But now listen, let me add to scripture. We don't all have the same function, but we all have a function in the body of Christ. Now, so we, that's us, being many. Yes, here we are, Lord. We're one body in Christ and individually members of what? Can you believe that? What a team. Listen, every person is unique. Every person is different. Every person is important, and every person is needed in the body of Christ, those who are born again. So what an incredible team. Each member functions to serve the body, not the other way around. We're not here to serve you. You're here to serve the body. Amen? That's really important that we see that. And so, you know, when we realize that we truly that are born again, a purchased possession by God, filled with His Spirit and His giftings by His grace, then we realize that we exist really to serve the body. Why? We're members. We're members one of another. And the head of this body is Jesus Christ. Amen? So that is what we call, remember, unity and diversity are one body, but not the same function. So true team works takes place when each member participates in the body. And, you know, have you ever been playing basketball? And like when I played like high school ball, we were a B school. You know, anybody know what a B school is? Okay, they still have them, I think, someplace in the world. And then we went to being in a 1A school. That was big time, okay? That means we probably had 50 people in the senior class or something. I don't remember. But, you know, I remember we were playing Northwest. You remember Northwest, that pagan city not too far from here. And so we were playing them, and there was a big rival then between, you know, Keller, Northwest, and all that. And Northwest always was a great basketball school back in those days before, in the days of the dinosaurs and all that. Well, everybody fouled out except, you know, for four of us. Well, have you ever tried to play basketball with just four people? But when everybody fouls out, what do you have to do? You have to play with four people. And it's a hard thing to do. And so there you are. And that's why I'm saying here, it's so important. Each part, when everybody participates on the team. How tragic it is to be a part of the body of Christ, but then be inactive. In other words, not a team player. See, that's like the handout I just gave you, or you're going to pick up tonight about praying. I beg you to be a team player on that. Please don't just take that home and forget about it. I go and say, Lord, there's five people, my family, my workplace, school, wherever it might be, that I want to see led to the Lord. And I'm not only going to be praying for them, but I'm really and truly with all my heart, I'm going to invite them. I'm going to bring them. I'm going to do everything I can to see them taken out of the devil's territory and become a son or daughter of the living God. Amen. That is so vital that we do that. We have to be a team player. So my heart, for example, you know, my heart exists to serve my body. And I thank God that I know I have a heart. I feel it. It's beating and so forth. And I pray that it never skips a beat. Amen. And I mean, I need that. So when we look at each other, we need one another. You know, I would be incomplete without my heart. Matter of fact, I'd be dead. And so the thing is, it says in Ephesians 4:25, we are members one of another. That means not only that we need one another, it means we're also dependent on one another. That's so important to see that tonight, loved one. You know, you've heard me say this, I know from the pulpit many times over the many years here, but which part of your personal body would you be willing to lose tonight? Which part of your body would you say, I'll give it up, I don't need it? You know, anybody here? Well, take my ear, I don't care, I have another one. You know, oh, Bill, take my left eye, my right. It doesn't work very well anyway. No, I've got my right. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't say, you know, let me have your teeth. No, you wouldn't do that. You want everything. You want every warts and all. You don't want to give any of them up. You want each, everything you're there. So listen, it's very, very important, you know. And so, you know, the person sitting next to you, you know, you would be incomplete without. And you know what? Listen to me. Do you know that we're all at different levels of maturity? We all have different problems. We're all going through different phases in life. And we're all under the same grace, the same hope, the same love, the same God, filled with the same Spirit. Amen. And you know what? We're these different levels of maturity. Do you know that Christians can do and say dumb things? Yeah, they can get themselves in trouble. You know, we're all growing. We're all under construction. Thank God that the God is a God of all grace. But the thing that we need to understand is that, you know, the person next to you, we're incomplete without them. We need everyone to be a team player. When I played ball, listen, if one of our players got hurt, man, we needed that person. You know, the tackle or the guard or the center or what, or the tight end or whatnot, the halfback, they're all of those people, they're just as important as the quarterback. Amen. Quarterback can't do anything without a good line. Did you know that? No, the quarterback's a sissy. They don't work out. They have skinny legs and they put all that Johnny Manziel stuff all around them. And is that his name, Manziel or something? Yeah, you know, and all that stuff, you know, to protect him. No. And then you have those guys down there, you know, weigh 200 or 300 pounds on the line, you know, that really, they're the ones that open it up for the halfback or the fullback and all that. Protect the quarterback at all cost. No, you have to be a team player. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 12:25, listen carefully. It says that there should be no schism or literally any division in the whole body. That's us. That the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Man, listen, that is what I call teamwork. You know what? We've got a person over here that's hurting. We've got a person over here that's just suffering right now. You know what a team does? A team goes over, you know, if you're playing ball and you got a brother that's out there and he gets injured, you go over and you pick him up. Man, are you okay? You know, are you all right? Can you make it? Do you need to get out? Do we need to substitute? What do we need to do? No, we care about people. See, a true team not only loves one another, cares for one another, but they support one another. And here's the thing that we need to understand. When one part of the body of Christ, let's just call, not corporately, but here just locally, the local body, our local body. If one of you is hurting, we're all hurting. We're all hurting. That's what the Bible says. Why? We're the same body. I promise you, you know, it's like you see this Band-Aid? I didn't put this on just for special effects tonight. No, I was getting a ham out of the oven like Daryl, and I'm just joking, Daryl. You know, Daryl comes back there and I says, look at this war wound, Bill. You know, it's a burn, man. And so scared me. Anyway, that's why I put this Band-Aid on. I thought special effects tonight. No, a horrible wound. Well, you know what? I tell you what, whenever that happened, Sunday, you know, the fact of the matter is my whole body responded. And my whole body cared about that hurt. Amen? It wasn't like, oh, I'm glad you got it, Lefty. You know, no. No, I mean, that hurt. It still hurts. And so I care about that. So when one part of the body is hurting, you know what we should do? A team rushes to that problem, to that need. You know, there's something about when we go to that person and they know that we care. They know that we love them, even though they could be the meanest person in the church. Amen. You know, mean people in the church, and there's a lot of them at Calvary. They need to be loved too. Really loved. You know, and so forth. So the reason that we do that is because we're all connected. Now, let me read Ecclesiastes 4:9 to you. Solomon says this. He says, two are better than one. That's a good word. Because they have a good reward for their labor. Boy, isn't that a true word? Many hands make for a light load. What a pain it is to be lonely and not have anyone and so forth. You know, it says, for if they fall, well, one's going to lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. You know, I know that that's talking about perhaps something physical, but when I read that, I always think of something spiritual. You know, whenever a person falls and fails spiritually, they don't need somebody to beat them up. They already know they're wrong. They already know they've grieved the Spirit of God. They're already hurting inside. They already have 10 million emotions going on. And they don't need someone to say, you're a failure. Remember how Paul, you know, when he got mad at Mark, remember Mark? And he says, Mark, because on the missionary times, Mark finally said, hey, I'm going home. I'm not going with you guys. And Paul was upset with him. And remember that Barnabas, what did Barnabas do with Mark? He pulled him aside. He ministered to him. He helped him. Had he not done that, we would have never had the gospel of Mark. And not only that, later on, what did Paul do? He says, send Mark. I need him. I need him to help me. See, Barnabas is a good man because he restored him. He loved Mark through his problem and through his trials. We need people. That's what a team does. They don't go, oh, do you know what so-and-so's done or what so-and-so's doing? And so, don't. That's of the devil. No, a Christian says, listen, my brother's hurting. My brother or my sister's fallen. They're in a sin, maybe a secret sin. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. They're hurt. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you which are spiritual, not a legalist, but spiritual, restore such a one. Restore is a medical term, like setting a broken bone. Restore such a one, and it tells us how, in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Listen, Ecclesiastes goes on, and it says in 4:11, it says, again, if any two of you lie down together, they will keep warm. And how can one be warm alone? You know, the Lord, does the Lord believe in teamwork? Oh, listen, did he send the disciples, the 70 out two by two? Does he have a team called a number 12? Absolutely. How about if you study, how about the book of Numbers? Just if you read, remember how we studied the book of Numbers about whenever the tabernacle was being set up and God says, okay, I want all these people placed around the tabernacle. Remember what he says in Numbers? Listen to this team. It says about the Gershonites. It says 7,500 of them you put on the west side of the tabernacle. And what did they take care of? Remember, they took care of the curtains and the coverings and the cords of the tabernacle. That's a team. They had a job. God believes in that. How about the Kohathites? Is that they placed 8,600 on the south side of the tabernacle, and they were responsible, remember the Kohathites, for the furniture of the tabernacle, for the transportation of it, and so forth. And then you have the Merarites, 6,200 of them, they were on the north side of the tabernacle, and they would take care of all the structural components, the boards, the pillars, the sockets, and so forth, around the tabernacle. God says, I have teams for everything. God believes in teams. He believes in us. And you know what? It's true. It's kind of hard to stay warm at night if it's just you in the bed. You know, when I was a little boy, you know, I've lived on the farm with my grandmother, and I love my grandmother. She's a great woman, and she loved the Lord, too. And we would go out on the porch because back then it really was a farm, and we would snap peas. Have you ever snapped peas together? We would do, oh, it was wonderful. And then at night, you know, we didn't have air conditioning or any of those things. We'd raise the windows were raised in the summer anyway, and you could hear all the stuff going on outside. And there was a bedroom right next to Grandma, And that's where I slept. And sometimes I'd say, Grandma, can I come get in bed with you? I'm kind of scared, you know, afraid. And she said, well, come on, Billy. So I'd go in there and climb in bed with her, you know, and I'd go to sleep. But I'd make sure that I'd always sleep on the right side of the bed. She slept on the left, and that's where she kept her dentures. You know, man, if you looked at those, it'd scare you to death. You understand? So you got to be really careful about it. Anyway, let me continue now. Ecclesiastes 4:12, and though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's more than numbers, folks. That's unity. That is teamwork. You can break one branch, but you can't break all of us. Amen. And that's why we need to be strong and be strong together. I don't know if you read the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram this morning. It just broke my heart and it touched me because, you know, there at Cook Children's Hospital, I had the opportunity to serve there on the board, the Chapmansley board, for 7 years. And I don't know if some of you remember, we were the ones who started, remember, the prayer bears at Cook Children's Hospital and so forth. And just a wonderful time. I'll never forget the experience I had with all the doctors, the nurses. I love that place. And it's a fine hospital as far as I'm concerned, especially for children, of course. And the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram said, Cook Children's focus is on preventing child abuse. Now listen, I read the article. I had no idea. Tarrant County has the highest child abuse in the nation. Now listen carefully. 5,689 confirmed cases of child abuse just in 2013. That is 15.5 incidences per day. Per day in our county. Listen to what it says here. It says, Dr. Diane Daly, it says, recalls the vow she made while watching a tiny toddler whose father kicked him so hard that his liver ruptured. He lay bleeding to death on the operating table before me. I remember looking at his face. He had a little nose that reminded me of my daughter, said Daly, a pediatric anesthesiologist for Cook Children's Medical Center. And when I was looking at him and knowing it was futile, that he was going to die, I couldn't help but think of my own child in that same circumstance and the fear and the terror that that baby suffered. It says the people he looked out for comfort offered him nothing, and it broke my heart to think that any child should have to live like that. I promised that baby, that little baby boy, I promised that baby because that it was all that I could do in that moment. If there was anything I could do to stand between a child and intimate, imminent threat like that, I would do it. Well, you know what? That's what they're doing. I'm going to be contacting them, finding exactly what they are doing. It's terrible, the sexual abuse of the little children or the beatings. And it's crazy the times that we live in. And I said, you know what? This woman, this doctor, you know what she's doing? She's going where she's never gone before. She is going to do something to try to prevent the child abuse that's happening in our county. And I'm going, Lord, that's wonderful. In other words, this Diane Daly, this doctor, you know what she's doing? She's putting her whole heart into something. That's what we must do. You remember Nehemiah? When Nehemiah was out there and he came and they started rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, it says in Nehemiah 4:6, it says, oh, so we built the wall and we built the entire wall. It was joined together up to half of its height. Why? Listen carefully. For the people had a mind to work. In other words, they put their heart into it. And you know what? That's what we must do. If we're going to really work as God's team in this city, in this county, in this state, you know what we need to do? We need to put our whole heart into everything that we can do. See, Jesus told us about working. He said in John 9:4, he said, the night is coming when no man can work. And I tell you, while we have time, we need to be working. Why? Because we are the greatest team in all of the earth. And the church, you know, we're not going to lose. No matter what, we're not going to lose because the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen. Now listen, but if we don't all participate, if we don't all get on board and be part of it, maybe we just might miss where God wants to take us. See, it says in Ephesians 4:15, let me read to you. It says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head," meaning Christ. And so meaning the body should act like the Savior, Jesus our Lord. It says, "From whom the whole body," here it comes, "joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working," here it is, "by which every part," that's us, "every part," each one of us, "does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now listen, it doesn't just take teamwork, it takes team effort. See, every one of us, we're needed in the body of Christ. Did you know that you can't be replaced? Oh, God can put somebody, but see, you already have a unique gifting. You have a unique place. You may be the joint or the socket or whatever it might be, but we're all part of one another and we all are needed. Amen? And so when we really, really see that, that the more that we all start doing our share, we grow, it says there, that from the scripture I just read in Ephesians, in the proportion that we love one another. See, love never fails. Love is what is the bond of perfection. Love is what makes everything happen. Without love, we're not doing anything. We're just a sounding gong or clanging cymbal. That's all that we are. So every part does its share. It's horrible to be on the team, but not be a team player. You know, tonight, you know, just think of the team that put everything together before you ever arrived. There had to be people that cleaned this church. There had to be people that came and prepared the food that you were eating tonight. The AC, everything had to be working. You know, you have the kids' church. All the stuff had to be prepared, all of their lessons and so forth. And you should have had a pastor that worked harder too, you know, to try to get you a sermon, but that's all you have tonight. And so then you have, think of it, you have the sound tech that's back there and he's got a new hairstyle tonight. I'm very proud of him. And then we have, you know, Craig, the media team, all that they're doing and all the people that are tuning in all over and listening live and all the things that are happening. It's because we have people that are working hard. And then you have the makeup lady, you know, did that thing for me tonight. So with all of that saying, something happens when we have inactive Christians. It makes the body kind of dysfunctional, if you will. You see, it's like, for example, if my body wasn't all working tonight, and some of you may be saying, "Bill, I don't think it is," but the fact is that, you know, I mean, the most important thing that's working tonight for me is not my mouth that I can speak. Actually, it's the things that you don't even see. It's those, my big toes, because without my big toes, I couldn't stand. Do you understand? They're helping me to stand here to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Every part is needed. You're needed desperately in the body of Christ. Don't be an inactive Christian. You know, Henry Ford said this. He says, "Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is progress." And I like this. "And working together is success." Did you know that the word Christian is only mentioned, and I may be mistaken, but I think I'm right, only three times in the Bible. Only three times. Do you know how many times the word disciples are mentioned or is mentioned in the Bible? 275 times. Isn't that interesting? You know, so for a Christian, if we say, okay, I'm a Christian, but if we're not a disciple, or a disciple meaning a follower, one who studies the Lord, follows after him, obeys him, well, that means we're kind of in rebellion against the Lord, right? So if we're born again and we're placed in the body of Christ at the new birth, God has given you a spiritual gift and wanting you to use it. Use it for the profit of all, the Bible says. That would kind of mean we're rebelling against the Lord. We're not doing what the Lord wants us to do. And that also means that we're suffering because of it. See, every part, everybody has a place in the body of Christ. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, he was a tremendous team player. If you go and study out his life, look at all the people that he pulled together and partnered with. I mean, how about Timothy, Barnabas, Silas, even Luke and so forth. And then in Paul, as we turn together now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul, when he was writing to that carnal church at Corinth, you know, look at what it says there in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. Paul says, "Brethren, He says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That word literally means behaving like people that are not born from above. For when one says, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So there was a division there, you know, saying, you know, I like Paul and da-da-da-da-da. He's my favorite teacher. Now listen carefully. In verse 5, Paul says this. He says, who then is Paul? Isn't that a great question? I mean, Paul, you sat at the feet of Gamaliel. You're one of the greatest Pharisees, I mean, that has ever been. I mean, this guy memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. Hello. I mean, he was with the Lord there in Arabia for 3.5 years being personally taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the revelation of what God was giving him. And he says, well, hey, he says, who then is Paul? In other words, he's saying, I'm not anybody. He says, and who's Apollos? And here it is, but ministers. You know what that word literally means? He says, we're just a bunch of table waiters. He says, through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. So Paul was saying, why are you divided here? Why are you not a team? All this is carnal. He says, we're just servants. We are God's ministers. We are God's team. And you know what? We're not the source of your salvation. We're not the source of your growth. Look what Paul says. Paul says, I planted, meaning he planted the church there. Remember at Corinth. He says, then Apollos, look what he did. Well, he watered. But God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything. Did you catch that? Nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. You know, the Lord has used me to plant 4, I think, maybe 5 churches, I can't remember, in my lifetime, okay? 2 of them, of course, I was the pastor of. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, we planted a church on the island of Mindanao there in the Philippines in my first pastorate and so forth. And so a lot of things that the Lord has called us to do in life. But you know, Paul, God says, well, you didn't do anything, Bill. You know, somebody else came along a little later and they started teaching. All you did was planted. You know, do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm looking on and say, oh, Lord, did you know planting a church is hard work? Did you know? Paul planted the church at Corinth. It had never been plowed, meaning the gospel was new to that area. Paul comes in, boy, I mean, that is what I call work. Later on, here comes Apollos later on. He just watered it with the word of God. But it says that God and only God, listen carefully, God and only God is the one who causes growth. Not me. Do you understand? Only God does that. See, it's not important who the preacher is. Do you believe that? I believe that, you know, it's so cool to know that, you know, somebody says, oh, you know, I had a guy come one day and he says, hey, Bill, look what God has done for what you've done. I said, I didn't do any of it. Not any of it. And it's so good, see, to be a pastor and know that I don't have to hold it together. Do you understand? And I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. See, it's not the one who important. It's not important who the preacher is. It's important that God is using the preacher. That God is using the pastor, or using the elder, using the Christian. That's what's important. See, if God is using us, then guess who gets all the credit? God. Isn't that great? I mean, I'm like, oh Lord, you're good. See, I can plant corn all day long. And I can come and get some water and water the corn, all the seeds and so forth. But I can't give life. Only life comes from God. So that's why Paul says, talking about teamwork now, he says, now he who plants and he who waters are one. Isn't it wonderful to know that we enter into the labor of others? You see, you think, well, I've just been sharing with this person, you know, over and over, and they're so resistant to the good news of Jesus Christ, and you're going over, and then somebody else comes along and leads them right to the Lord. But see, you're the one that sowed all the seeds. And so the other one just comes along and waters the seeds that you've sown, and the guy comes to the Lord. Amen? And that's what it's all about. And so he says, oh, the one who plants and the water, they're just one person. And each one, meaning each one, they have a job to do. But listen, and each one will receive his own what? Reward. But now watch this. Reward according to what? not his success. Boy, that's so important. Not his success, not even the results. It says he will be awarded because what did he do? He went out and labored. He was part of the team. He worked and so forth. So all of God's workers are one in him. We're members one of another. And so Paul says in verse 9, for we are, meaning Paul and Apollos, he says, for we are what? God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You're God's building. You know, God could do all the work without us, but he chooses to work through us. Amen? Why? That he might receive all of the glory. All of the glory. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ. He receives the glory. Oh, we are co-laborers with God. Can you believe that? Co-laborers with the Lord. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. He tells us how, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here it is. And has given us, not angels, but us, the church, Christians, has given us the ministry of reconciliation, where we take someone's hand that's lost and leads them and put them in the hand of Jesus, and Jesus takes them to the Father. Amen? That's it says, goes on in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, and we are ambassadors for Christ. We're his representatives. We have a message worth hearing. We have a message from God to proclaim to those that are lost in this world. Listen, Paul said, we are God's field. What a team. That means we're God's garden. Don't you love that? He looks down and says, oh, I planted you guys. You know, we're the field of God. And you know what I love about God? When the Lord plants something, does he ever have a crop failure? Not God. There are not any failures. If God plants you, boy, I'm telling you what, he's going to produce fruit. It says in John 15:16, that's our verse for this year, isn't it? That Jesus said, I didn't choose you, but you didn't choose me, but I chose you, appointed you. You should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain. We're God's garden. We're his team. Listen, it says, Paul said, you're God's building. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is erecting a building and all of us are under construction? You know, we're not what we are right now, what we shall be, but when we see him, we will be like he is. And him who believes that what he keeps himself pure, looking for the Lord, expecting him at any time. Oh, listen, God is building a church, and he's been building the church for 2,000 years. And you know what? I don't know, but I wonder if maybe the building is nearly complete. I mean, I wonder how close we really are to where the Father tells Jesus, says, it's time. And all of a sudden, you know, we're gone. We're out of here. We're with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Listen, as I close tonight, listen to me now. We have a lot of work to do between now and September. I mean, I'm sorry, October the 5th. This is our opportunity that God has given us to take people to this one-night event for 2 hours there at the American Airlines Center. Now, the outside will hold about 5,000 people, Greg said, and there it's called Victory Plaza or something at the American Airlines Center. So they're really working hard to ensure this, and all the churches, you know, that are involved in this, you know, Pastor Jack Graham and so forth, and a wonderful man. He's, of course, on the board there and really working hard as well. We want to be a part of that. So we're God's team, amen? Amen? And we're going to work hard. And not only that, we're preparing for the remainder of this year and then beyond. We are preparing right now to go where we have never been before. Father, we thank you tonight that we are your team. We want to be your team, Lord. And all of us are different players. All of us have different functions and so forth. And Lord, all of it comes from you. So we just humbly bow our hearts, Lord, to you tonight. And we want to be used by you so we can bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all that we do. Lord, bless your people tonight. Bless those that are hurting. Bless those that are lonely. Oh, God, bless those that are maybe ill in their bodies. And, Father, how can we be a part to stop this horrible child abuse in our county? How can Love Never Fails International, or how can Calvary Chapel, Father, work with the hospitals again, and or with families again, and reach out to those that are just families that are falling apart? Lord, I know you're raising things up for us to go where we've never been before. And we anxiously await your direction. Now bless your people tonight. Keep them, O Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.